you are witnesses of these things. It's the last line in the gospel today. And it reminds us of our mission to witness to what Jesus has done for us. As part of my ongoing love for learning, I've been studying one of my favorite subjects, marketing. Theology and technology are far ahead of it, but marketing I love. For those of you in the real business of marketing, don't be too hard on me. I'm not really a pro at this. And those of you who may be wondering, should he even be giving a homily? It starts about talking about marketing, a sometimes crass and manipulative tool of consumerism. Hear me out, for I'm in good company and trying to get a point across using terms and concepts from everyday life. Jesus did the same thing in Matthew 25:14-30, in the story of the servant and the talents. And to tell you the truth, you know, we use marketing and sales concepts all the time in our faith. We just call it evangelization. Just ask anyone who attended the Paris Social Ministry Conference yesterday. And I think, truth be told, that many marketing and salespeople have borrowed concepts and ideas from Christianity over the years. For the marketing and salesperson knows, nothing happens in this world of human affairs without somebody buying and somebody selling. Whether it's an idea, a belief in God, or a tube of toothpaste. Many of us would shudder at the thought of selling of the belief of God, but isn't that what I'm doing up here? Telling you about or selling to you the importance of God in our lives and how he loves us so much that he sent his only son to save us. Taken to the extreme, isn't it possible that homilies are possibly a 7 to 10 minute infomercial for God, specifically tailored to today's gospel, hopefully inspired by the Holy Spirit? You know, if we think of it, we are all individual agents of Christ. Each of us has been tasked with witnessing the gospel to the world. How well do we do this? How do we do this? And we can turn to marketing to help us provide us with a tool. Every marketer and salesperson, and possibly every person who is interviewed for a job, likely understands the concept of the elevator speech. For those of you who don't know, an elevator speech is a short summary used to quickly and simply define a person, product, service, or organization and its promise of value to be delivered. It's not meant to close the sale. It's meant to tell enough of the story to get the party interested. It's an essential part of product branding. And as I was studying this section on branding in the marketing course I'm taking, I started thinking about what was Catholicism's brand? And then that was followed quickly by, what would a Catholic's elevator speech be? I Googled the term elevator speech Catholic and found out, not surprisingly, that others have thought about this also. It wasn't an original, you know, thought, for sure. And I would say that I think we Catholics struggle with this idea because overall we struggle with the idea of personal evangelization. I often hear Catholics paraphrase a quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi that goes something like this: preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. And it's certainly true that the way we live our lives is the most important witness that we can give to the gospel. However, sometimes this quote is used as a justification for not professing or explaining the faith. This is a problem. Catholics need to tell the story of our faith to others. You know, I think we're deathly afraid that God is going to ask us to stand on the street corners and hand out religious tracts. I don't really think that's what's going to happen. I think we're far more likely that we'll have an opportunity to share one-on-one with a coworker, a stranger, or, you know, just in general conversation about our faith. But we often don't know how to tell our story. We struggle with how to talk about our faith in a compelling and personal way. Now, like I said, there's lots of different scenarios that can happen, you know, not just in elevators. The point that I'm trying to ask, the question I'm trying to ask today is, why are you Christian? Well, that's the answer that I think we should have, that's the question we should have an answer to. So as an example, I'll tell you my story, or my answer. It's no way perfect, and I'm sure it'll change over time. So over 30 years ago, I fell to my knees one day, convinced that I could not go on living the way I was living. something had to change. I had no direction, no hope. On my knees, with no one around, I asked God to help me, to save me from my despair and from my drinking, which was killing me. I felt immediately lifted up and felt the presence of peace. I have never returned to that dark place. God saved me from myself and from my alcoholism and has kept me sober ever since. 12 years later, I asked Christ to forgive my sins, and he did. Would you like to hear more? Thinking about your faith journey, it's hard to wrap up in 30 or 40 seconds or so, but it's important to be brief, and the value proposition must be clear. And in my case, the value proposition is God saved me from myself, and Christ saved me from my sins. You know, this is not a magic thing. You know, just like I said earlier, you know, you may be selling something, but if the person isn't buying, you know, there's no transaction, so to speak. But also notice that it's simple. It doesn't contain much theology, you know, and it's to the point. The disciples in today's gospel had a decided upper hand in developing their elevator speech. You know, they actually knew God in the flesh. You know, they touched his flesh in before and after the resurrection. Our experience is going to be different for sure. Perhaps we can share how we touched the Eucharist one time or at some point, and scales fell from our eyes, and we believed in the real presence of Christ, his body and his soul, just like the disciples in the breaking of the bread. Or perhaps your experience is of a transformed reality. In the gospel today, Jesus shows us how he's not a ghost, how he's a real person. So real, he could eat a piece of flesh. Jesus is counteracting the idea, the physicality of the idea that our story ends with death, and the idea that our spirit and souls and bodies are separate. And perhaps your story includes some unbelievable part also, something that you had to see to truly believe. It will be your conviction, your witness, that will convince others of its reality. And we can say with some assuredness that Christianity would not be where it is today without the depth of conviction the disciples showed to the point of death. Our faith is built on the blood of the martyrs. Or perhaps you can share that you were studying the Word one day and it all became clear to you. Jesus opened your mind to the Scriptures and it all made sense. Or maybe your story would be that of a repentant sinner, unable to find peace until you found Jesus, who is waiting for you all the time. Or perhaps you can share a ministry experience in which you saw Jesus face to face. The question is, you know, what is going to be your elevator story? Amen.
Amen.